Turn with me, if you would, in the book of John tonight. And this is Soul Winning Sunday, and so we have soul winning messages. We'll have to have Soul Winning Sunday 2.0 next week. I hope you'll pray about that. You know, a preacher only has so many soul winning messages. So we'll see what we have for next week. Let's go to John chapter 19. I begin preaching at verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate, therefore, went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.'" Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for recording in your word that which you desired to be written and recorded for all eternity. Thank you for the accounts of the Lord Jesus, of his birth and of his death, burial, and resurrection. But Father, it's hard for us to read some of the verses that we read about the crucifixion because we love the Lord and we see the things that were done to him, and it brings our righteous indignation whelming up within us. But Heavenly Father, we also understand that it had to be so that we could be saved. And Lord, for that we love you and we thank you and we praise you. And so tonight, as we look into the Word of God, I pray that you would help us to see a few things that might encourage our hearts and strengthen us. Heavenly Father, maybe convict us and challenge us and change our lives. Help us to move one little step forward, if we can tonight, in our Christian walk. Lord, I pray you'd magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at the crown of thorns which was placed on the precious brow of the Lord Jesus, what do you see? I see a crown of pain. I see a crown of mocking. I see a crown of humiliation. I see a crown of symbolism. The Lord Jesus in his humanity wore a crown of thorns as the King of the Jews. He wore this crown of thorns as our substitute. He wore this crown of thorns as our Savior. And the last time we see the Lord Jesus wearing a crown on earth, we see him dying as a man bearing the sins of the world. You know, I looked up that crown, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but crowns are of pagan origin. The first known crowns were part of the ancient Egyptian empire and were associated with the gods of the pharaohs. And here we have the Lord Jesus wearing this crown of thorns. And it's the last thing we see him wear here on earth. But the next time we see the Lord Jesus wearing a crown, it's in heaven, alive forevermore, as the King of Kings. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19 and look at verse 11 with me. We'll begin reading there. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The last time we saw Jesus on planet Earth, he was mocked for being the King of the Jews. The next time we see him with a crown, it is coming in his glory with his saints to set up his kingdom as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight I want to take a look at crowns. Number one tonight is this: there are crowns to be won. The New Testament mentions several different crowns that the individual Christian can receive from the Lord Jesus. Unlike salvation, which is a free gift of God, the crown is earned, and there are at least three character requirements mentioned in order to win a crown. Number one is temperance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So he says, if you want to have one of these incorruptible crowns, you have to be temperate. The word temperate means self-restrained. It means you have your flesh and your lusts and those desires of the flesh in control. You restrain them. The word means moderate in indulgence. It means to be moderate in an appetite or a desire. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote to them and said, let your moderation, a synonym for temperance, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The second character requirement to earn one of these crowns is righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And the third requirement, character-wise, is faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so the character quality for the individual that is necessary to be able to earn one of these crowns is temperance, righteousness, and faithfulness. And the quality character of the crowns themselves was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. They are incorruptible crowns. The Apostle Paul saying that the athletes and the competitors of this world compete for corruptible crowns, no matter if they're made of material like a wreath out of leaves and sticks, or whether it's silver or gold or bronze, it's going to corrupt. It's going to break down sooner or later. But we have an opportunity to earn incorruptible crowns, crowns that will last for all eternity. Now, the crowns that we can win, I'm just going to go over them quickly. We've looked at them before, but I just want to bring them and refresh your memory. Number one, there is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The second one is the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The third crown is called the crown of life. We find it in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And the last crown, number four, is the crown of masteries. We find it in 2 Timothy 2:5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned as a master, except he strive lawfully. And the fifth crown brings me to my second point. So there are crowns to be won. But the fifth crown is what I really want to look at tonight, and it's in point number two. And point number two is this. If you'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll look at verse 18 and 19. But the second point is crowns at his coming. Crowns to be won, point number one. Point number two, crowns at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy, here it is, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? When? At his coming. The fifth crown, the crown of rejoicing, or we might call this the soul winner's crown. Paul saw the souls whom he had led to the saving faith in Jesus Christ as crowns. When he wrote to the Philippians, he said something similar that he said to the Thessalonians. In chapter 4, verse 1, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So Paul said to the Thessalonians, you're my crown of rejoicing. He said to the Philippians, you're my crown. I think this gives the enhanced meaning to the scripture that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, where the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, sometimes we labor here and we wonder if it's doing any good. We wonder if it's worth it. But he said in the scripture that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus is rewardable if it's done for his glory. The Bible says if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. So here the Lord is telling us that he is going to reward us for our work, for his glory. Now, Paul did, but he did state by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that the souls which are led to Christ are the crown of rejoicing of the soul winner. He did not say that he will receive a crown for starting a church. He did not say we'd receive a crown for going to the mission field. He did not say we would receive a crown for giving money to the work, or serving here, or serving there. All of those are important. All of those are laudable. All of those need to be done. But he did say there was a crown of rejoicing for those who lead souls to Christ. Perhaps that's why the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. And when will these crowns be distributed? 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, at his coming. You know, Jesus is coming. And he says in Revelation 22, 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, there's coming a day when the Lord himself will come again, and he with his rewards, and he will crown his servants and his sons. You know, there are crowns to be won, and there are crowns at his coming. But my third point tonight is this. Go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. There are crowns at his feet. Crowns to be won, crowns at his coming, and crowns at his feet. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There you have the reason God created everything he created. For one reason, his pleasure. Isn't that what it says? All things were created for his pleasure? And here we find the saints of all the ages casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. Did you notice there were 24 elders around the throne of God? 12 representing, and may well be, the 12 patriarchs of Israel, standing for the saints of the Old Testament. The other 12 representing, and may well be, the 12 apostles, standing for the saints of the New Testament. And so here in heaven and before the throne of God, the church of the New Testament and the believing Jews, the nation of Israel that believed, are all together worshiping and singing and bowing and casting our crowns at the feet of Him who made it possible and gave us the grace to acquire them. We receive them from Him for that which He did, for that which we did as service to Him in temperance, in righteousness, and in faithfulness. He then receives them from us because without Him we could not secure them. They are ours by His grace at working in our lives, but He rightly deserves them because without Him we can do nothing. It's an incredible thing. God, we are servants of God. And He calls us to serve Him. And then He says, if you serve me right, I'll give you crowns. And then when we get to heaven, we realize more than ever before how entirely and completely and utterly dependent we were on Him to be able to earn these crowns, and we can't keep them. Not because we're not allowed to, but because we don't want to. We're not worthy of those crowns, so we cast them at the bottom of the throne of God, at the feet of Jesus, and we say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory. Not us. Unto Thy name be glory. Imagine all the crowns won through all the ages by all the saints. And they are all cast at the foot of the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by those He redeemed with His own blood. I can't even begin to imagine how many crowns that is. But wait a minute, there's one more thing. Not only are there crowns to be won, and you can win them. Not only are those crowns going to be given to us at His coming, not only will those crowns be thrown at His feet, but point number 4 is found in Revelation chapter 19, crowns on His brow. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Listen, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written, no man knew but He himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Maybe you missed it the first time I read it tonight. But look at the Lord's head, and what do you see? Many crowns. Now, what crowns do you suppose these are? Could it be that they are the crowns that we have cast at His feet? Now, I don't know how this happens, but it says He has many crowns, which leaves it open to as many crowns. This is the importance of the crown of rejoicing or the soul winner's crown, because it's one more crown to cast at His feet. It's one more crown to be placed on His head. I don't know about you, but I want my crown on His head. And every soul winner will have a crown to cast. And a crown for the Lord to wear. He came to earth to wear a crown of thorns for us. When we get to heaven, may we have a golden crown for him to wear from us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the Lord Jesus will wear many crowns. Will there be there one from you? Be a soul winner and be sure. But maybe tonight you're here watching or listening. This King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, this Savior can be your King. He can be your Lord and he can be your Savior. How? By owning him as such, by faith. Revelation chapter 1 says this, "And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, Jesus is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only mediator. The Bible says there's one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. And he's the only way. He himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he is only pleased with faith. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Faith is what pleases God. Believing God. Not because you see, but because he said. The Bible also says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Believe today and be saved before it's eternally too late. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we have a short service tonight and a small crowd. But Heavenly Father, where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So thank you for being here tonight. I pray for everyone as we go home that we'll get safely to our homes and safely to our beds tonight, rejoicing in the Lord and thanking you for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you would come and wear a crown of thorns for us. Heavenly Father, may we, when we get to heaven, have a crown of gold that you can wear from us as we cast it at your feet. Help us to have a burden for the lost. Help us to witness along the way as we go. Help us to pass out tracts. Help us to ask the question whenever the opportunity arises. Give us grace and power to win people to Christ, that you might be glorified and magnified. I pray for anyone watching or listening tonight that is not saved, that Father, tonight they would bow their knee to Christ and trust him as their Savior. And the only one, that they might be born into God's family by grace through faith. We ask your blessing. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand with me, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Number 578, "Just As I Am." And perhaps tonight you'd like to come and say, "Lord, thank you for coming and wearing a crown of thorns for me. And Lord, I want to have a crown of gold that comes from me to you because of what you did for me." Perhaps tonight you have questions about being saved. I'd like to meet you at the front. We can talk about it. But you do what God wants you to do as we sing number 578.